And then the downfall. 10 years later, the same Lambeth, which corresponds to a general council of the Catholic Church, a meeting of all the Anglican prelates throughout the world. 10 years later, Lambeth changed its position, and now it said, if there is a good moral reason why the way of abstinence should not be followed, we cannot condemn the use of scientific methods for preventing conception, which are thoughtfully and conscientiously adopted. Unquote. By 1958, the Anglican Conference raised the practice of contraception to the dignity of a Christian virtue, since, once again I quote, the number and frequency of children had been laid by God in the consciousness and consciences of parents everywhere, unquote. Let's pause for a few minutes and ask ourselves what happened. What happened? And we're talking now about 19 centuries. Already, by the end of the first century, there are written documents issued by Christian authorities reprobating, condemning, and always condemning three practices, and in sequence, contraception, abortion, and infanticide. As Christianity spread, not only numerically, but ideologically, its moral influence on whole continents became embedded in the civil laws of all the corresponding nations. It took, therefore, apostasy in a Christian religion, and how this needs to be said, in that Christian religion of English origin that is so deeply infected and by now devastated our own beloved country. Christianity was instituted by Christ to provide the moral soundness, let's call it the soul of society. As long as Christians remained firm and faithful to their principles, the rest of the world, where Christianity was established, followed their lead. Once Christians caved in, whole nations fell along with them. By way of a short analysis of what we said so far, before we go on. Already, therefore, before the end of the second millennium, it is now simply assumed in much of the modern world that contraception is not only justified, but actually prescribed by the moral law. I sure hope I'm clear. There's no longer toleration, no longer permission. It is now prescription. The grounds for this widespread mentality, as we're calling it, are mainly the professed priority of each person's own conscience. Now, this needs to be underlined. Instead of the mind and will of God being the guide which sets the norms for moral behavior, it is now each person's own mind, determined by each person's own will. Well, that person decides is good, becomes good. Well, that person decides is evil, is evil. In other words, each person's conscience is his own judge of what is morally good or morally bad. Conscience, therefore, has been redefined to mean each person's own free will, independent of an objective divine law, which teaches our minds what is morally right or wrong. I'm seeing much more than meets the ears. What I'm saying is that through the widespread, all but universal practice of contraception, certainly in the once Christian Western world, the very norms of morality have been changed. And instead of God determining what is right or wrong, it is now each person's own will which is sovereign. So that once contraception has been morally justified and become even laudable and praiseworthy, hear it and weep. There is now no crime, no crime that the same human mind cannot justify, and that the civil laws created by human beings cannot legalize. I've begun to use the term. Nations have become morally insane. And the moral insanity is rooted in the denial that there is a God who stands above man as man's creator, who determines what is right, what is wrong. It is no longer God, but man himself. Better, it is now man who has become his own God. As I've been saying now for several years, the old paganism was polytheistic, a belief in many gods. The new paganism is strictly, severely, monotheistic. There is faith, all right, but faith in only one God. And this God is independent, the independent, and autonomous ego who is responsible to no one except, quotes and capitalize, himself. We go on. What is our Catholic responsibility? Remember, we began this conference with the title, Our Gravest Moral Responsibility is to Convert the Contraceptive Mentality. I wish to assure you, this is not symbolic language. It is stark reality. We Catholics are in the possession of the fullness of truth. Truth, we know, is conformity of the mind with reality. The millions of our contemporaries who believe in contraception are living in a dream world of unreality. This dream world is being fostered by the modern media of communication, which I never tire repeating to one audience after another. This modern media of communications world, Marshall McLuhan correctly calls a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth. It sure is. For 5 years, I was on the faculty of a state university teaching Catholic theology. When I finished my tenure, I published a book entitled The Hungry Generation. The more than 2,000 students, many non-Catholic and many non-Christians whom I taught, I can tell you, how they desperately want to know the truth. The people of our country, and I'm using a very weak word, are starving for the truth, famished for the truth. They are hungering for the only food that can nourish the human mind, which is the truth. Over the years, I have identified peace of mind as knowing the truth. No wonder, statistically, some 70 million Americans are managing to eke some semblance of peace of mind on medically prescribed tranquilizers. 70 million. They are starving for the truth. This is what we have, and before God, we have a duty to share what we possess. On these premises, we see that the contraceptive mentality is not only a tragic symptom of mistaken people. It is the symptom of a deep, deep malady, which is starvation for the truth. So we ask ourselves, What is our Catholic responsibility? How I wish I could stand on the top of the Empire State Building or have access to the most powerful television station in the country and shout, plead, plead with those who have the fullness of the truth as we possess. Our duty, and I say this, and I mean it from the depths of my soul, our duty is to live the truth as Christ, who is truth incarnate, showed us by his life on earth how we are to live in this passing world of space and time. Live the truth. What is our duty? Our duty is to defend the truth, because we realize how disastrous are the consequences of error and how blessed are the fruits of possessing the truth. What a gift! What a gracious gift from the mind of God to have given us, unworthy creatures that we are, the treasure of possessing the truth, but let me repeat, but not to be hugged by ourselves alone. What's our duty? Our duty is to share the truth with others, because this is the highest practice of charity, and I have to add, on which our own salvation depends. We believe no one can be saved unless they have the true faith. The measure of possession depends on the degree to which those who have the truth share it with others. We shall be judged on our own practice of charity, mainly, I repeat, our charity in sharing the truth that Christ gave us with everyone whom he puts into our lives. I'm not quite finished. Our duty is to suffer for the truth. We are to rejoice, as Christ tells us, when people oppose us, criticize us, speak all kinds of calumny against us. In a word, when we are persecuted for proclaiming the truth, which God, who is the truth, became man to reveal. Our Lord, truth incarnate, was crucified for proclaiming the truth in Palestine. The contraceptive mentality is a challenge to our zeal to re-evangelize a paganized America. Christ will use us as channels of his grace in this massive task of conversion on one condition. We must be willing, and I mean it, we must be willing to live a martyr's life, and if need be, die a martyr's death for the salvation of our beloved country. Salvation in time and a heavenly destiny in eternity. Amen. Thank you for listening to me.